Father, thank you as you're sharing with us the incredible joy of being seated with you in your Son Jesus, where together we can proclaim and worship and see the reality of the glory of you through your Son and the glory of Jesus. And as that song says, cannot put a price to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. As we are learning more and more the reality of our life in you, incredible gift, Father, that you have given to us as your Son, Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you as you open it up more that we can live in the fullness of this as we grow day after day in what you're sharing with us by the Holy Spirit. So we thank you. For again the joy of sitting with you, Father, you sharing, you opening up, you touching our lives, and each and every one of us today will experience your involvement in one way or the other. And so we thank you for your incredible goodness that you have made known to us. And this we thank you because it's your Son Jesus that has brought us to you, reconciled us to you, that once again we can be in your family as your children, loved by you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh. Great. Well, welcome to those that have come in. Good. I think I just wanted just to recap a little bit. Today will be the last one that we're doing on the reality of being seated with Christ, because it needs to, it's like the parable of the sower. The message is like a seed of, you know, the message of the kingdom is like a seed. And so the seed's been sown, so we need time to pray, to meditate, and to really get what God wants to help us to grow into, to start to get established so that we can see the fruit of the revelation that God's giving about being seated with Him in the heavenly realms. And so that's what we've been looking at. So if we can go back to Ephesians chapter 2, just to get the scriptures that we have been involved with. In Ephesians chapter 2, well, it was, we started up there in chapter 1, verse 3, where Paul is again speaking, and he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And all the time we're emphasizing the reality of our Heavenly Father, and for us to open up our lives to receive His fatherhood, His involvement as a Father in our lives. And that's vital for us to be able to understand the reality of what it is to be seated with Him. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him, and this is important, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given to us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and He has made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head in Christ. And we looked at this particularly last week when we began to really understand the reality of being a child of God. And we notice over here that before creation, God had already predestined for us to be adopted as His children. So sonship, the father and the family, is a big, big deal in the heart of God. Christ came to once again bring us back into the reality of knowing God as our Heavenly Father and the reality of being in family. So we've been looking at that. And then chapter 2, we've been reading, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." And we looked at this 2 weeks back. "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us," God, who is, again, notice the emphasis of He's rich, and all the time you see over there, He's glorious, His abundance, you see the generosity of God. "For all of us who lived among them one time, following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us," was He, God, who made us alive with Christ, "even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realm, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so we've spent quite a bit of time just going through this over the past, basically, 2-3 weeks. Now, what we're noticing over here is Heavenly Father, sonship, being raised with Jesus Christ, seated with Him in the heavenlies. All of this is because we are in Christ Jesus, because of a union, because of the reality of being born again by the Holy Spirit. And remember last week, and by the Holy Spirit, God gave us the right to be children. And so we're understanding more and more of the reality. And so this is why all the time it's asking God, our Father, to help us to understand what it means to be fathered by Him, that we may experience Him as our Heavenly Father and open up our lives for His fatherness. And then we are looking at this particular verse, and in Romans chapter 8, and we are reading there from verse 14. We'll just go verse 13. "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." And as we've been looking, the reality that the only way to get victory over the sin in our body and all the old nature and all the reality of just what we would often call as being human, the only way to live not as a human in Adam but a human in Christ Jesus is by the Holy Spirit. There's no other way to have the victory. There's no other way to experience the breakthrough. It is by the power, by the ministry of Holy Spirit that we have received as a gift from God, because we are children of God. "But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." And that word is quite big, those who are led. Very important. Remember when Jesus is speaking about the sheep, and He says very clearly over there that in John chapter 10, that if a stranger comes, you see, those who know Jesus will recognize that that is not Jesus. That's not Him. And they will not follow Him. But those who are his children, and he says he calls them out by name. Can you see the intimate relationship? Jesus calls us by name, and every one of us will hear Jesus calling us personally by name. We will have that encounter. So Jesus calls us by name, and we recognize and we follow him because he leads and we follow. And so here we have something here that sons, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Very important. We'll get into that as we continue. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. Okay, so once again, the reality of being seated with Christ, we're not seated with Christ as a slave. We're seated with him as sons, as daughters, children of God. Very, very important, because to understand what Christ has done in this incredible work of bringing us to once again to be seated with God, we've got to understand we're not there as a slave, because we will think as a slave, we will behave as a slave, we will want to serve God as a slave, and all of that is very much part of being captured in a religious mindset. Not only slaves to religion and to the law and wanting to do something in order to get right with God, but it's also slaves to darkness, slaves to sin. All of that is part of the reality of being a slave. We are no longer a slave. And that's why Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8 is so, so crucial to understand. In Christ, we are no longer a slave to sin. We are now a slave to righteousness. That's the key. So now we're beginning to understand. In order for me to understand how to pray for my nation, in order for me to understand how to live as a husband and a wife, how to be a parent, how to be a child, in order for me to understand how to work in the workplace I'm working, I've got to understand I'm not a slave, I'm a son, I'm a daughter. I've got to have that reality. I'm loved by God. Otherwise, I'll keep on looking for man's approval. I'll keep on looking to be accepted. I'll keep on fearing, are they going to retrench me? All that kind of stuff will be very, very strong, because there's no revelation and no acceptance, but we are children of God, loved by God. That's key in understanding how to be seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Otherwise, we won't be able to pray for the people in our work and our families. We won't be able to pray effectively for our nation, because we'll be praying from a mindset that, oh man, they're stronger than me kind of stuff. Oh man, there's no hope for our nation, etc. That's not prayer faith. That's not praying from seated with Christ. That's praying from being ground bound. And we're not ground bound people. We've been raised with Christ. Okay, so important to understand. So any problems that you and I face, our starting point is not, oh, woe is me. Our starting point, we are seated with Christ. That's our starting point. And that now begins to open up our understanding. Lord Jesus, what have you done already in your death and resurrection? What's taken place in your ascension? Let's start to discuss this reality. And now we start to get the right words, the right understanding of how to pray. No ground-bound prayers. Now we are seated with Christ. That's the prayer of a righteous one, is powerful and effective. Why is it a prayer of a righteous? Because the righteousness, we are now seated with Christ because of the gift of righteousness. So we are righteous people, and our prayers are powerful and effective. Very important. So we spend a lot of time going through that. So we've just been recapping a little bit, yeah? And then we read over here, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So we started looking at this particular scripture last week, and to understand that we're now, because we are genuine children of God. That's who we are. We have received an inheritance. We are co-heirs. We are heirs. We are the rightful children of God to be able to receive from our Heavenly Father an inheritance. And that part of that inheritance, as we know, is the inheritance of eternal life. But part of the inheritance is that now we are co-heirs with Christ, and we have to look at the inheritance of Jesus Christ. What has our Lord inherited? One thing we know, ask of the nations, and I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. So we're beginning to understand, as we're starting to realize, what does it mean to be seated with Christ Jesus? What does it mean to be co-heirs with Christ? We've been singing, He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Everything submits to Jesus Christ. What's His inheritance that we can be involved here on earth, working with bringing about the reality of His inheritance, that becomes a very real thing? As I've shared often, one of the great joys for us will be to be so involved with our Lord Jesus' inheritance that we can come and say at the end of the day, Jesus, here's our town. It's your inheritance. And what a joy, what a praise and thanks offering, and just a celebration to be able to give to Him what belongs to Him, because we are co-heirs. And we are on the earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So we're involved with the Great Commission. We're involved in touching people's lives in one way or the other, because the people are His inheritance as well. So all of this is what we've been spending a lot of time on. But this morning I want to look at something a little bit different based on what we've been reading over here. But you received the spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. And as I've shared even on the other day, that when you and I just begin to speak the name Father, our Father which art in heaven, Jesus taught us to pray, our Father. When we begin to just address Father, or what happens, the Holy Spirit will testify with our spirit, Father. And that brings tremendous healing to people's lives. And often, as I've shared the other day, one of the wonderful things to do is to someone that may be battling with depression or just battling just the identity, take them and say, "Now, we're going to start having a bit of a vocal session over here," and get them, come, let's say, Father God, our Father. Help them to speak loud, Father. And what takes place, as they're saying, Father God, Holy Spirit is testifying to their spirit, Abba Father. See, so fatherhood is being manifesting, is becoming real to them. And you'll be surprised how this helps many, many people to start getting the revelation that I'm loved by the Father, I'm His child. And it'll help people tremendously as they do this. Now, one of the things we looked at when we saw John chapter 17, and we read there in verse 4, and Jesus said, Father, again we use the word Father, let me just read that over there, because we read over here, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. He is the Son of God. And the Father, as a son, the Father had given Him an assignment, had given Him a mandate, had given Him a task, had given Him a mission, had given Him something to do. And Jesus comes here to the end of His life, and He says, but Father, thank You. I have completed the work You have given me to do. And this is what I believe God wants us to take note of, and now to get established. You see, we are receiving the fact that as sons and daughters, we are seated with Christ. But as a child of God, as a son and a daughter of God, there comes a time when our Heavenly Father gives us responsibility. And there are times now where you and I need to accept and take hold of that responsibility and start to walk in that whatever our Heavenly Father has given to us to do. It's one thing saying, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God. Oh, I'm a child of God, I'm loved by the Father. You see? But now we have to begin to understand that as a child we grow, we mature, and as we mature we get more responsibility. And we're in this time right now where our Heavenly Father, you will begin to recognize as the Holy Spirit, there will be an awakening to a God-given responsibility that He is giving to each and every one of us. And we need to take ownership of that. So now, and this is the key, because now if I begin to put into faith, Lord Jesus, I'm seated with you in the heavenly realms, and now my prayer, my interaction as a child of God, as a son and a daughter loved by my Father, and we're relating with one another from this reality of being a child loved by the Father. Now the next revelation that the Holy Spirit wants to help us to get established in is now, not only am I now seated as a son and a daughter, but now I'm also seated in the reality of an assignment. So now my discussion as a son, as a daughter, my discussion about the assignment that He has given takes place. I'm taking responsibility now. So just say, maybe some God may say, you know, you need to go, I've called you to maybe be an evangelist, or called you to whatever it may be. It's no use just saying, I'm a child of God, I'm an evangelist, wonderful, that's my gifting, etc., etc. No, you've got to take responsibility. Got to take responsibility of that. So now you are seated with Christ, with the Father, and as a son, as a daughter, but now, Father, as an evangelist, that's an assignment. I accept that responsibility. I take hold of that responsibility. Let's speak about that now. And you will discover, as you connect and you take responsibility of the call of God on your life, you will discover how He now begins to share with you the strategies. It becomes clear now, because you're focused, you're taking responsibility. I don't think, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't think you want to tell your children a lot of stuff if they haven't taken responsibility of their, you know, of whatever you've given to them. You're wasting your time. You first want to help them to get to the place of taking responsibility before you can share more. Same with our Heavenly Father. Now our Lord Jesus, He wants to share about the Great Commission. That's part of the inheritance. He has a Great Commission. Let's start to discuss it. I've anointed you. I've called you this. This is your gift, whatever it may be. Now, take responsibility. Take ownership of that. Now, let's speak in that line. Seated with Christ in the heavenly realm, not ground-bound, wanting to ask about what's the strategy, etc., etc. Seated with Christ, the communication's wide open. Now we're focused. Lord, thank you. This is what you've done. I accept the call. I accept that responsibility. Let's speak about it. How are we going to go about doing this? And this is when you start to, sons are led by the Holy Spirit. You see? This is where we start to now start to discern. We start to recognize the voice of God even more. We start to understand how to go about walking in our God-given anointings. So when Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5 onwards over there, now add to your faith, and he goes on, goodness, etc., knowledge and all that, he carries on. Because if you keep on adding to your faith, it'll keep you from being ineffective in your calling. And that's why now, as the Holy Spirit shares with us a bit more, and when we know, it's no longer just bypassing and, oh, I'm a blessed Christian. No, it's now, guys, take responsibility. You've got to start to be seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, on that what we will call maybe a throne of your responsibility, so that you, as co-heirs, you can rule with God, with Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Sometimes it's not easy to take responsibility. Because we've got all kinds of particularly religious concepts. And one of the religious concepts that we often have is this kind of false humility thing. Whatever stuttering we do in making excuses why we can't, we're not good enough, etc. But our life is in Christ Jesus. You see, He is our life. So we can't have an excuse. It's, yes, this is what you've shown me. I take responsibility, and now guide me, Holy Spirit. Thank you as you start to lead me how to live this out here on earth, so that your kingdom comes, your will be done on earth. See? And that's what I sensed some time back. We're moving into a greater sense of significance in Christ Jesus. And we need to understand the significance of Christ's incredible glory within us, His life within us, to be expressed more and more. And this is why taking ownership right now, if we don't understand, if we don't know our God-given assignment, take ownership of, I don't know. Do something about it. See, don't just, oh, I don't know. No, I don't know. Lord, I don't know. Please share with me. Practice now. I'm seated with you. Father, share with me. What's the responsibility you're giving to me now as your child? I want to go about and so that you can be glorified on earth, because this is to your glory that I bear much fruit. Share with me. Show me. See, begin to search. Begin to ask. Don't just, oh, I don't know. Press in. Seek and you will find. Ask. And he will answer. And so this is taking responsibility of our lives in Christ Jesus. And this is the army that's gathering right now, all over. Where we know that, as God has shared with us, the incredible nation that we have, South Africa, it's part of the inheritance of Jesus. He's placed His incredible body in this nation, in the body of Christ. Now we're praying for the revelation of understanding to be seated with Christ. Now, as understanding our God-given assignments, that we can start to rule and reign. Let's ask a question. When God created Adam and Eve, He gave them an assignment. He gave them their mandate. And He said, rule, reign, multiply. They had the light, the Holy Spirit within them. They understood. They lived in a relationship. And as we looked there, when they sinned, when they disobeyed God, then the very life, God removed His Spirit from them. What took place after that? See, then we start to see the consequences of sin. Now we're having communion this morning. And what did Jesus say at the Last Supper? He said, this blood is the blood of the new covenant for the forgiveness, the removal of your sin. Powerful. So now we see, as in Christ Jesus, the power of His incredible sacrifice, the power of His incredible blood making atonement. What takes place? All of a sudden, when Adam and them sinned, and the consequence of that, now there's sin. Jesus comes and He removes sin from us. So we go back to a mandate, the Great Commission. Rule, govern, multiply, because of the blood of Jesus. See, we've got to understand of our life being in Christ, the reality that our sin has been removed. That's why we're seated with Him in the heavenly realms. That's why, once again, we have Holy Spirit within us, because of the removal of sin in Christ Jesus. But it's all in Him. He is our life. And as we grow and we start to become focused on Him, we start to realize, but Lord Jesus, be seated with You. You have in you, our sins have been removed. The whole reality of the new covenant. If you have to ask yourself, you look at the way God deals with people in the old covenant. It's fascinating. One of the kings of Israel, he is doing evil in the eyes of God. But because God had made covenant, and we see there that God, through a prophet, spoke to Israel and said that, gave them a prophetic word, this king is doing evil. And the word of God says, but because I spoke a word to the prophet, this evil king is going to once again take back the boundaries that have been lost because of covenant. God had spoken a word. He has an evil king, but God's covenant, God's word, He's dealing with man. If we understand covenant, we begin to understand the safety, the security, the faithfulness of God. Now we come to the new covenant in Christ Jesus. Now we're beginning to understand. But now, in Jesus, He's removed our sin. For those who believe in Him, we have eternal life. In Him, we've been seated, raised and seated with Christ. In Him, we are co-heirs. In Him, now, once again, we can begin to get a mandate. That which sin destroyed, now through Christ Jesus, He has undone all that what sin has done in Him. That's why when you sing, holy, holy is God, that's the most incredible truth. To know that we in Him, He's holy. Of course, He's removed our sin in Him. That's why we can say, Abba Father, we can know our Father who loves us. We can have relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. The blood of the covenant is a place where we can be so safe, so secure, knowing that our Father will be dealing with us on the basis of that covenant. That's the terms and conditions. So my prayer today is that we will begin to know the reality of being seated with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And we can start to communicate, we can start to relate from that position. Understanding in this position, there's a tremendous authority because it's Christ's authority. And now, not only as Father and Son, etc., but now, Father, You've given us a task to do. And I take responsibility. Today I accept that. I realized this when God has given me many, many insights to my destiny. He's shared a lot in my life concerning my position in the kingdom, just who I am as a child of God. And it's one thing, yeah, that's great. It's one thing, wow, that's quite interesting. I love that, thank you, that's brilliant. But it's another thing taking responsibility of that. And that's the key, because that's where the authority now starts to operate through our lives in the name of Jesus. Because now we're taking responsibility in what He's spoken. So guys, The army is gathering. We go back and we will start next week. What faith really is. We'll go back because faith is such a beginning process for you and I. Then then the next thing that God shared with us was knowing Him as Father, being living loved by the Father, and that's what we were growing into more and more. And then we will then be so united and say, yes, Lord, where you lead us, we go. Because now we are co-heirs with Him. We understand. We are led by the Spirit. And when He says go, we go, because now we're taking our responsibility serious. So may the Holy Spirit share with each and every one of us just what is the responsibility that our Father is giving to us. It's fascinating when Jesus speaks about the parable of the talents. And remember the three people that He brings, and He says to the one, according to your abilities, I'm giving you 5 talents. The other one, 2. And the other one, 1. And the one that received the 5 took responsibility and worked it, multiplied, double, 5 more, multiplied it. The one with the 2 worked it, double, 2 more, multiplied it. The one with the 1 hid it, did not take responsibility. And this is where we are. Our Father has given us talents. He's given us gifts. He's given us abilities. He's spoken into our lives of our purpose, our calling, etc. And now we are at the place where we're accepting this, taking responsibility, and we're going to go and work it here on earth. Open your heart to receive the fatherhood of God, to bring the healing necessary to be able to work the task, to fulfill the task, not as a slave, but as a son. With a lot of joy as sons and daughters, with a lot of freedom. What you will discover as more and more as one gets established in the reality of truly being a son and daughter of God, what one discovers is that there's a lot of sort of limits that we have placed on our thought process and our thinking that you start to get removed. And you'll start to see we've had this limitations all around us. This limitations of impossibilities and you name it, of past experiences have built this big roof over our lives. We're in this big building kind of thing. And you will find there as you start to really grow in this, you will find there that the sky's not even the limit. Because Jesus is above the skies. Because we start to be seated with Him. And then we all start to understand when Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will do greater works than I have been doing, because I'm going to the Father. And all of a sudden we understand the reality, because now why would we do greater works than what Jesus was doing? Because now we have been raised with Him. He's gone to the Father. We are seated with the Father in the heavenly realms. Now as His children, seated with Him, we are able to do the greater works that our Lord Jesus wants to do in the time that we're living in. Can you see the incredible, let our minds be set free from the limitations that we find ourselves in? How can we look at a nation and say, oh no, we're in a box? How can we look at our families? How can we look at our situation and say, oh no, we're in a box? And that's why for us to grow and get established, but Lord, in you, we've been raised, we'll do the greater works because you have gone to the Father, we are with the Father, with you. What are the works that you're wanting to do in this nation? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, what is our mandate that God has given to us? The big picture, Great Commission. But within that, there's so many specifics, giftings, callings, anointings, you name it. We're all involved in one way or the other. And so Jesus says, this is the commandment. Go and love one another. Go and love one another. What's the expression of that love? And that's where you'll find that the love of Christ that compels us, and we will be involved taking responsibility because it's His love compelling us to be involved. Amen. Oh. You'll be surprised the moment we start to take responsibility of our assignments from a position of being seated with Him as co-heirs, you'll be amazed at the effectiveness of your prayer life. You'll be amazed at how God answers prayer. Because you're operating in your mandate. Yeah. It doesn't help if you try and sit in someone else's seat, mandate seat. It's not tailor-made for you. Seek God and say, Lord, what is it? Seek Him. Every time I get to the place in my life when I realize there's more than what I'm currently living right now, I purposely go and seek. Lord, what's there? Show me. You're hungry, you receive. Okay. Father, thank You that we can come to You. Thank You that You are, in Your incredible way, just removing things in our thoughts, in our minds, in our belief systems that somehow has placed a cap over our lives. You were chuckling about a medical aid cap. But we want to thank You that in You, Jesus, in You, what is the cap? You see, You're above all. We sang that early on, just acknowledging that You're above all. And we want to thank You that as we begin to understand the reality of being seated with You, Lord Jesus, and what it is to be a co-heir and to be involved with what You were busy doing, and to see the kingdom of Yours become a reality on earth. We want to thank You today, Holy Spirit, as You just shine into the darkness of our hearts and the areas of our minds and thoughts that is kept us in a sense in captivity and has kept us. We want to thank You today that You're removing that. And we dare to believe that in You, Lord, all things are possible. We dare to start to believe, and our belief goes beyond the disappointments that we've had. And that's why, Father, we embrace Your fatherhood as You share with us perspective, as You share with us from Your point of view what has taken place in the past, and we get a better understanding of these things so that we can grow, we can move forward with You, Lord, as You bring healing and establishing fatherhood within us, that we may truly live in the reality that all things work for the good for those who love You. It's not just a verse, but we live in the substance of that, in the reality, in the life of that. And that excites us, Father, because we can move forwards now, taking responsibility, not hiding because of hurts and disappointments, not hiding and saying no because of past experiences and what people have said over our lives. But we take hold of what You have spoken. And in You, Lord Jesus, because You are our life, we now receive. So as we celebrate Your incredible sacrifice, Your body that was broken for all of us, we celebrate the blood that made the atonement, that is, brought us into the reality of a new covenant, of the forgiveness of our sins. Your very name, you take away our sins. We want to thank you, Lord, that we can be in the place in you where we can be so bold and free, Father, in your presence, seated with you, because of the blood of Jesus. So we thank you. Lord, part of your incredible broken body was to remove the veil. It was a barrier now in you and through you, because you've been raised, you've been seated with the Father. We are in you. And what a joy to be partaking in your body. And we celebrate the resurrection life. We celebrate your ascension this morning. So thank you, Lord, for the power of your blood. We receive it. And we give you praise for this, Lord. Amen. You know, I was so encouraged the other day. You know how we've been speaking about the blood, and one of the things the Lord started to teach us was to loose the blood. Remember the blood of Christ, atonement, oneness, reconciliation. And I heard a testimony that just, wow, from someone that had not seen their child for years and 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 years, as they practiced to release the blood of Jesus, reconciliation took place. The power of the blood of Jesus, reconciling family members that are lost, bringing children back, the power of the blood of Jesus. Guys, the resources that we have are powerful, the blood of Jesus. Release whatever we bind and whatever we loose. Loose the blood of Jesus. Start to see the power of reconciliation, of oneness, healing, and life.